alaikum. This is Sheikh Ibrahim Ansari. Today, I'm going to talk about lenses. I'm going to entitle this one, What Are You Looking For? What a wonder we are. Out of all the possible miracles to explore, examine, and learn about, we tend to take our massive and powerful mind telescope and focus it on the least profound worlds. Imagine that you have an infinite variety of lenses to focus on absolutely anything you want to look at or understand. We can enlarge the image or shrink it down as far as you wish. Oh, for example, let's say I like small things, like ants. So I get out my lens and I hone in on a single ant and watch it. I learn about its pheromone trail, its ability to lift 50 times its own weight, and that it is the longest living insect. And when I zoom out, I learn that ants are eusocial insects of the Formicidae family, along with wasps and bees, which belong to the Hymenoptera order. They're also the fastest animals, live on every continent, except Antarctica, and they don't have ears. The largest nest of ants was found that was over 3,700 miles wide. And there are over 12,000 species. But we tend to fall into the habit of worrying and stressing about ourselves and what others think. It's astounding that we have this ability, but without understanding the tool, it is certainly easy to hurt ourselves and others with it. We need to learn how to use it properly, consciously, and delicately. Whatever you seek, you will see. If you are looking for things to worry about, that is what you will find and what you become. Our mind lens is extremely powerful. So wherever we focus our attention, the shape, color, and pattern of our interest will become only what we see. As a Sufi, it is one of the main reasons why we focus on clearing the board of our nafs, because the nafs will always have a magnetic hold on our attention. The nafs want to make themselves the center of the spotlight. And like gravity, they'll draw your sacred focus towards their self-centeredness. The nafs try to draw us in to their tiny realm of false importance. They may have been important once. They were probably an adaptation to protect us or to even keep us safe. Now, though, it's time to ask the question, is this habit still needed? Let's take a moment to concentrate the lens of perception upon our inner world. And as we adjust the focus, we'll start to see a colorful, chaotic pattern of energy knots and tangles. The feeling of being stuck or caught in the sticky web of nafs is natural. It's part of waking up. This is where we learn that the basic tools for growing are operating. We just maybe don't like some of them. Because we don't know what they are for, we tend to call them negative when they're actually trying to help us out of our condition. Now, the tools I'm talking about are pain, embarrassment, anxiety, stress, worry, guilt, and panic attacks, and other similar annoying symptoms. Now, bad therapists and lazy self-help books will attempt to sell you the concept that you're okay and to fight those horrible irritations with good thoughts and positivity. They will provide you with pleasant-sounding lies and that you deserve to be wealthy, powerful, and sexy. Or they may invite you to partake of various ceremonies or drugs that will allegedly heal past experiences. And that reminds me of a Nasreddin story. Nasreddin decided to teach his donkey how to fly. "Look at the bird! Just do that," Nasreddin would say. "It's going to be harder because you don't have wings, but I know you can do it." Finally, the day had arrived. Nasreddin took his donkey up to a high cliff, showed him the perspective, and said, "Fly, donkey, fly." And he pushed his donkey off the cliff. Now, the donkey sailed through the air, but only briefly. He hit the ground and died. Nasreddin blamed himself. "Oh, I got so excited about teaching him how to fly that I forgot to teach him how to land." Without approaching the tools with wisdom or critical thinking or proper guidance, they will turn into an entertainment or a distraction. And it's like being a 2-year-old with a screwdriver. It's easy to hurt oneself or someone else. And this is where cults can grow, like fungi, when others feel distant and disconnected. Now, these over-the-counter salves are a temporary anesthetic cream over bleeding open sores and wounds. Snake oil cures do not actually deal with the source of the problems. You must work to actually heal and grow. And most of us do not like to work on ourselves. And thus, the world is as it is. Now, if you listen to what you are truly feeling and explore the seed from which, for example, the pain seems to issue, you may discover that it is a memory, a knot of energy that's looping. You will eventually discover that this hidden energy cycle has words or an action or a reaction attached to it. Very often, a phrase or event will keep on cycling just under consciousness, saying something like, "You'll never be good enough," or "You're weird." Pain, in its simplest, most basic purpose, is a teacher. It will show you that this action or situation hurts, and to not repeat the same action. All life wants to feel safe, loved, and comforted. Pain disrupts that desire. But If the pain is associated with the form of safety, love, or comfort, we often will accept the pain if we receive the love. This is a bit of the twisty kind of thing we humans do. We prefer the known to the unknown, and whatever flavor of love we learn or must live with, that is what we want to keep. The same transaction occurs with the other tools we are given. And as children, we weren't embarrassed or ashamed until we were taught it in some kind of experience. And then it became part of our personality package. We tended to lump it in with the phrase, "Well, that's just who I am," which is not true. This is part of the stuck phenomena we grow up with. As an adult, we may begin to become more aware of these energy knots and want to excise them like warts. Highly commendable. But you will need a couple of important engines to remove them. You first have to see each nest distinctly and clearly to develop a well-thought-out strategy for removal. This will always take time, effort, intention, a sense of humor, and maybe some help. The longer a habit's been around, the longer it will take to remove. Doing this one by one. First, though, you must witness the nefs in action. There are nefs that manifest with you personally, and they're yours alone. No one else has your particular collection of unwanted loops and habits. They're your responsibility. Other people have their own. They are not yours. You have your nefs and they have their nefs. Your job is you, and you are to take care of your own garden. You will often see twisted, wild, or peculiar, infuriating nefs in other people a lot more easily because they're actually yours that another is reflecting. We serve as teachers for each other. And if you don't like what you see in someone, that's most likely resonating in you because it is part of you as well. Now, this is all part of our personal interior amusement park. There are wider or larger systems that are continually at play. Your culture is a highly defined structure in which you live. All of us live. A culture, we can define it as the values, language, clothing, food, laws, and behavior of a certain area and people. The geography will determine the kind of clothing and housing, which, along with many other attributes, may grow into religion or myths or legends, which will define the people and their beliefs. Embedded within each culture are certain symbols and looks so that people don't bump into each other or make waves that disrupt the social flow. One aspect of a culture is to support the ability for people to move amongst each other without disrupting the flow. Peer pressure defines how you dress a certain way, how you smile a certain way, how you greet each other in a certain way, and address each other in certain ways. There is a continuous social pressure to keep each of us in line so that we don't disturb the flow, so that we don't rock the boat. The lid is held down very tightly to keep the pressure on for conformity, especially in theocracies, dictatorships, and cults. If you move outside these defined areas, well, you're going to be chastised in different ways according to the dogma and stories that have long since served their original purpose. You will notice when immigrants enter a new country, they bring all their old culture with them: clothing, food, language, myths, music, art, and habits. And if you go to live in another country, you're going to do the same thing. We cling closely to our known connector things. We get stuck when we use these outer things without assessing their truth. Each value and belief we follow defines us. If we have not examined each element of our culture with our heart, then we have not fully matured. We are just a puppet, an adult but still a child of our family, neighborhood, culture, and state. Stuckness usually happens when we identify with an exterior attribute of our family, culture, or state. And if we don't scrutinize everything we identify with, we cannot live an authentic life. The tide of life will wash away the sandcastle you imagine you are. If, after identifying the problem, like judging others, you will find it difficult to stop doing it, then you're on the right track. This is where the work and application kick in. You will need to fully intend to overcome this attachment. Now, let's define attachment as anything you identify with as you. Whether you believe you are smart, stupid, lazy, workaholic, rich, poor, man, woman, tall, fat. All these labels are boxes that limit and confine. They are lies meant to hold you in their tiny compass. To break out of them, you must identify and rewire your brain through intention and practice through work. The brain is adaptable and plastic. You can, through effort, change the wiring, but that also means you need to undo the current programming. This is unlearning. To replace a bad habit, you must first know what the old code instructions were. Could be something like, "I'm not good enough," or "always be nice and pleasant." Once you know the old loop, be clear about what you want to replace it with. For example, to replace either of those circuits, you might say, "I will be true to my heart, Allah, and display good manners," adab. If you need help, there are many tools available for this express purpose. Learning about the tools is just as important as applying them. A new world of transformation will become clearer and intelligible. Achieving maturity will open for you. Connection with your heart will increase, thus giving you a sense of purpose, belonging, love, and peace. This is probably one of the most desirable lenses, one where we feel connected, grateful, and can zoom in or out as needed. We're no longer confined or constricted in our emotional and spiritual movements. And if you want to change the world or yourself, this This is how it's done. First, develop peace within. Easy to say, hard to do. Then, you can see life and the world around you truthfully and accurately. Otherwise, the unresolved poisons within you will affect everyone and everything you touch. One cannot change the outer world without first changing your inner world. Thank you. This has been Sheikh Ibrahim Ansari. Salaam alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, Mureeds, seekers, curious, and interested listeners. We appreciate you and are happy to share our Sufi message. Your donation will help support our Sufi center in Sydney, where we do zikr, sobat, spiritual counseling, and healing services. We believe the message should be free, but it costs equipment, rental services, software, and hardware to get this to you. So thank you for choosing our podcast among all the millions available. If you go to our website, AnsariSufiOrder.org, you will be able to donate through PayPal whatever you think this information is worth to you. Blessings and love, the Australian Ansari Sufi Order.